Great to be with you all today. What a wonderful time. Wasn't that incredible? Wow, those songs, so powerful, so powerful. So such power and healing in those words. Thank you, Peter. So last week we heard all about hope, about living hope, that we can have this hope through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's an eternal living hope because we serve a living Saviour, amen. That no matter what trials we may face in this life, we can have hope when we place our hope and trust in Jesus. Not in the world, in Jesus. And the Lord encouraged us last week to lift our eyes up from our circumstances. To lift our eyes up from our circumstances, to look out into the light which is Jesus Christ. For he is the light of the world. I mentioned that the hope that we have in our hearts is unlike any earthly hope. It's not like I hope she doesn't preach too long today. I hope that the potatoes have been peeled for this afternoon's lunch. No, we heard last week that it's the hope that is given to us when we first believed. It's hope in Jesus Christ. Hope has a name, and his name is? Amen. So as we enter today's installment of What Hope Is, I think it would be good for us to say together with confidence what we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, if we can have that on the screen. So let us say this together. Let us hold firmly to the hope that we have confessed, because we can trust God to do what he promised. Amen. And the Lord has made many, many promises to us, church. There are too many for me to proclaim today. But what we will claim today is that promise of hope, that he who is hope has promised each and every one of us hope. Now, I believe that this is, in fact, a word in season for where we are in the world today. Let me share a wee story with you, something that happened during the week that made me smile. I visited Moss Vale Primary on Wednesday, and I had the pleasure of going through and meeting all the different classes. And each class, I asked them if they'd heard of Moss Vale Community Church, and they put their hands up. The majority of them put their hands up. And I asked them, what do you know about Moss Vale Community Church? And many of the children said, the tree in our garden. If you've never been past this church in the evening, you will see that the tree in our garden lights up, not just at Christmas, but every day of the year. And it gave me a wonderful opportunity to share with the children what Pastor Hugh has named that tree, because our tree in the garden is the tree of hope, and it lights up. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want our church to be known for, that we are a place of hope and that we are the light of the world, that Jesus is here and he is the light of the world. So keep praying for our community. So those of us that are taking notes today, I've got 5 points. I know that seems a lot, but we'll get through them, don't worry. 5 points that I came across online about what hope is when I was preparing for a women's conference, our Women to Women conference earlier this year. And God reminded me when I was preparing for last week of these 5 points. And I'm going to share them with you today about what hope is. We heard last week, hope is Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. So 5 points about what hope is. So number one, if you're taking notes, hope believes. Let's say that. Hope believes. A bit of participation today is going to happen, okay? So we can wake up. There are many, many stories in the Bible of men and women who placed their hope and their trust in God. They simply believed. You know, when the angel came to young Mary, we're going to hear all about that very shortly because Advent is just around the corner. We have our Christmas decorations, aren't they beautiful? So Mary, when she was a young girl, the angel came to Mary and told Mary that she would give birth to a child, not any ordinary child, but the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And in that moment, she could have asked a million questions, but she simply believed. Hope believes. Let me ask you today, do you believe? Another hero of our faith, Abraham, way back in the book of Genesis, he and his wife, Sarah, had a personal struggle. They had a personal pain. They had battled with infertility for many, many years. Their desire was for a baby. God promised them that out of them would be born a mighty nation, that one day that they would have a child. Now, don't get me wrong. There were times where their faith wavered a bit. There were times where they made mistakes and they tried to do things their own way. But Abraham is known as a man who believed. He believed God. In Genesis 17, we read when Abraham, before he was named Abraham, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make you a covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." What did Abraham do in hearing God's word? It says that he fell face down and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father, of many nations." The Lord promised this to Abraham. And after all those years of infertility, they could have lost all hope. But instead, they chose to believe that God comes through. They chose to believe that if God has promised it to you, that he will deliver. Abraham could have given up when everything seemed impossible, but he held on. We read in Matthew's Gospel 19 that all things are possible with God. Is there someone that needs to hear that today? So do you believe today that God is bigger than your circumstances? That God can deliver on his promises? What promises has God made to you, I wonder? Have you been waiting for a long time? Have you battled with hopelessness as you've waited to see that promise come to fruition? Can I encourage you today? There is hope for those who believe. So number one, hope believes. Number two, are we ready? Hope never gives up. Let's say it together. Hope never gives up. Let me share with you a story from Mark. I'm not going to read it because I know that you know this story very well. A woman struggling, living with a life-altering illness for 12 years. 12 years, think about it, 12 years she's been battling with ill health. She's been bleeding. She's an outcast in society. She's been deemed unclean. No one could touch her. She could touch no one. Think about that, how lonely she must have felt, not being able to feel the arms of someone embrace you. Aren't you glad that you get a lovely hug when you come through the doors of the church on a Sunday? Her hopes of ever being married, perhaps having her own children, slowly fading. But here's the thing about this woman, which I love, that she never gave up hope. She kept on believing. Yes, it was tough. Yes, it was never coming through. How do we know? How do we know that this woman never gave up hope? Well, she tried everything she possibly could to get well. That speaks of hope. She tried. In fact, she placed her hope in people and medics that actually stole her money, and it was false hope. But the bottom line is, she never gave up hope. It was in there, like a fire burning in her heart. And then she heard of a man that was traveling the towns and villages, a man named Jesus. And she went in search of hope. Could she possibly touch such a man? No one would allow someone like her to even draw near, but she came to Jesus regardless of all of that. She came in hope. She came in hope because hope never gives up. She falls at his feet. She touches the hem of his garment. Instantly, she is healed. Hope never gives up. Hope brought her to the Master, and it was hope. It was faith and hope that healed her. Jesus said that. I wonder, Are you here today? And what you've been battling with, what you've been struggling with, that trial that is going on in your life right now seems like it's been going on for an eternity. Can I encourage you today? Hope never gives up. Keep on pushing in. Press in. Press in to Jesus. He will not turn you away. Number three, I said we'd get through it quite quickly. Number three, what is hope? Hope is louder than the crowd. Let's say it together. Hope is louder than the crowd. We say it out loud like that so that it sinks in, so that we remember it tomorrow when we're at our work and we're having a really rotten day and we're feeling really helpless. We start to speak out the words that we heard on the Sunday and we start to proclaim these truths over our lives. So it's good sometimes to declare it out loud. So hope is louder than the crowd. So in the same story with the woman with the issue of blood, there's another female who's sick. Only this time it's a child. She's 12 years old. She's the daughter of the synagogue leader, Jairus. And before Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood, he was actually on his way to Jairus' house. You see, Jairus came in hope. He believed that this man could heal his child. So he came to Jesus and asked him to come and visit his child who was sick. Only he didn't anticipate the interruption that would happen on the way. So Jesus heals the woman. And you can imagine Jairus watching on thinking, I wish you would hurry up. This is an amazing miracle, by the way, but I wish you would hurry up because my daughter's at home and she is very, very sick. But by the time the interruption has taken place, word comes from Jairus' house. Word comes from the crowd. What does it speak? Well, let me read it to you. Some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. What do they say to Jairus? They say, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? What are the crowd saying to Jairus? Give up. There's no point. This is a hopeless situation. I wonder, has someone spoken that into your life? Don't bother. It's beyond help. You're beyond help. Just give up. There's no point. Maybe these are words that you've spoken over yourself this very week. There's no point. Give up. It's hopeless. What does Jesus say? Jesus speaks to Jairus, yes, but what does Jesus say to us today also? He turns to Jairus and he says, don't be afraid. Just believe. That was our first point. Hope believes. Jesus was saying, don't listen to the noise of the crowd because hope is louder. It's more powerful than the voice of the crowds. And this is for someone here today. There's someone here today, and there's been a lot of voices speaking into your life. In many ways, you've allowed those voices to speak into your life. But here's the thing, you don't have to. You don't have to listen to the voice of negativity and the voice of lies telling you you can't or there's no point in going on or that you are in a hopeless situation because Jesus is here. He is hope and he's saying, don't be afraid. Keep believing. That was our first point. Our second point is don't give up. Our third point is hope is louder than the crowd. We have to fight, church, for our faith to be louder than the noise in this world. And it can be hard at times. That's why we don't do life alone. That's why we come to church, because you're not alone. Because we're here to support each other. When there's been a lot of noise in your life and then you come along to the men's meeting and your brothers come alongside you and say, come on, man, keep believing. Have faith, because that's what happens here on a Wednesday night. So come along, men. And I can tell you all about the women's meetings if you're interested in that also. We have to fight for our faith to be louder than the noise of the crowd. I want to stay with this point. I want to stay with this hope is louder than the crowd, because I believe that God is speaking something to some folk personally today. I want to read to you now about two blind men. I want to read this to you from the Message. Matthew's Gospel now. As they were leaving Jericho, this is the disciples, a huge crowd followed. Suddenly they came upon two blind men sitting along the side of the road. When they heard it was Jesus passing by, they cried out, "Master, have mercy on us, mercy, Son of David." They knew exactly who Jesus was, didn't they? The crowd, what did the crowd do? The crowd tried to hush them, but they got all the louder, crying, "Master, have mercy on us, mercy, Son of David." Jesus stopped and he called over and he asks a question, "What do you want from me?" They said, "Master, we want our eyes to be opened. We want to see." Deeply moved, Jesus touched their eyes. They had their sight back. And that very instant, they joined the procession. They followed Jesus. The crowd around Jairus was saying, "Give up." The crowd around the blind men were saying, "Shut up, shut up. You're not worthy. You're not worthy to speak. You don't have a voice. Is that what you've been hearing? Is that what you've been speaking over yourself? I'm insignificant. I'm inadequate. I'm unworthy. I've got nothing to say. I've got nothing to contribute." Let me tell you something. The Master wants you to bother him. He wants you to interrupt him. He wants you to annoy him. And he will never tell you to shut up. If you come to him and speak to him, let me tell you something. He will listen to you, child. He will incline your ear towards you and he will listen to you, child. He wants you to bother him. And Jesus never turned anyone away. We have never read that in Scripture. He always responds. The two men could have given up hope. Think about what their life must have been like. All those years sitting by the side of the road, people walking over them, people telling them to be quiet. But they never gave up. They never listened to the crowds, because hope is louder than the crowd. The woman with the issue of blood, she could have scurried away and hid in shame because people told her to get away, get away. But she kept on hoping. Jairus could have given up. He could have said, "Oh, well then, that's it for my daughter." But he didn't. He believed. He followed Jesus. So let's not let those voices of doubt and negativity and lies and fear drive us and keep us from the hope that God wants to release into our hearts today. Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me as you are. Seize your moment. Receive that hope." Number one, hope believes. Number two, hope does not give up. Number three, hope is louder than the crowd. Number four, hope resists resentment. Let's say it together. Hope resists resentment. I mentioned earlier that Abraham and Sarah had fertility issues. They're not the only people that we read in Scripture that had fertility issues. There was a woman in the Old Testament, her name was Hannah, and she too experienced the same pain of wanting to have a child. You can read her story in 1 Samuel. I'm going to read a bit of it to you now. One day, after Hannah had something to eat and drink in Shiloh, she got up. The priest Eli was sitting on a chair by the door of the Lord's temple. Though she was resentful, she prayed to the Lord while she cried. She made this vow, "Lord of armies, if you look at my misery, remember me and give me a boy, then I will give him to you for as long as he lives. A razor will never be used on his head." While Hannah was praying a long time in front of the Lord, Eli was watching her mouth. She was praying silently. Her voice couldn't be heard, only her lips were moving. Eli thought she was drunk. "How long are you going to stay drunk?" Eli asked her. "Get rid of your wine. Hannah responded, "No, sir, I'm not drunk. I'm depressed. I'm pouring my heart out to the Lord. Don't take me to be a good-for-nothing woman." Don't you love the message? "I was praying like this because I've been troubled and tormented." Eli replied, "Go in peace, and may the Lord God of Israel grant your request. May you continue to be kind to me," she said. Then the woman went her way, and she ate, and she was no longer sad. Amen. This is the story of Hannah's fertility. She desperately wanted a baby. Her husband had had child with his other wife, Penina, and she'd conceived and she'd made life for Hannah difficult. Hannah watching her husband's other wife raise children where she was struggling with infertility caused her pain. Of course it did. And she grew resentful. And I wonder if you know what this feels like. Perhaps it's watching others receive your breakthrough while your hope is fading. Hannah was taunted by Penina. It tortured her, and her husband's inability to understand how she was really feeling. It was tough on her. But even though she felt these raw emotions, you see, the Bible doesn't say that when you become a Christian that these raw emotions will never surface ever again, because they do. But it's how we deal with those raw emotions when they surface. And here's the thing, resentment and bitterness is a raw emotion that if it ever takes root within you, becomes a root of bitterness. And we cannot allow that to set into our hearts. So God has made a way, and Hannah chose that option. She chose hope in that moment because we see it in her prayers. In that moment where all hope was lost, when resentment was trying to set in, when that raw emotion was fighting with her, she chose in that moment to lift up her voice, albeit it was an ugly cry, but she did it anyway, because hope resists resentment. We cannot allow this raw emotion to settle in. And maybe you're here today and you've been feeling down, because you've been watching other people receive what you're looking for. Maybe it's a child like Hannah. Maybe it's a job opportunity that you're here and you want that next step in your career. You're sick of seeing everyone else and hearing of everyone else's good news. Or it's a marriage. Maybe you're here and you long for love. Maybe it's to see an end to a health issue, and you're hearing of other people being healed. You want to be happy for them, but there's a part of you who's like, but I need that and I want that. Can I encourage you that hope is louder than resentment? Hope resists resentment. That was a mix of the two there. Hope resists resentment. Hold on to hope. Like Hannah, turn that pain into a prayer. Don't leave here today battling with raw emotions such as resentment and pain and bitterness. Lay it down today before the Lord, because hope is more powerful than these raw emotions. Number five, our final point in what is hope. Hope expects God to answer. Amen. Before we've even said it, let's say it together. Hope expects God to answer. Do you believe what you've just said? Good. This actually follows on quite nicely from point number four, because we've heard about Hannah praying. I mentioned there that Hannah went on to have a son. She had a child. She named him Samuel. She gave her son Samuel over to the temple, as she said she would. Samuel, funnily enough, is that little boy who grew up in the temple with the temple priests. He was that wee boy that God spoke to in the middle of the night. You remember the story when God spoke to him. It took him a wee while, didn't it, to work out, who is this that's actually speaking to me? But when God spoke to Samuel, and with a wee bit of help from the priests, and Samuel realized in that moment, okay, this is God. What does he say to God? When he knows that God has spoken to him, he says, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Do you believe that God speaks to you? Do you believe that God will speak to you and that he will answer your questions. The psalmist writes in Psalm 38, "For in you, O Lord, I hope." You will answer. Not you might, or you'll think about it. You will answer, O Lord, my God. That's in the Amplified Bible. Do you have that kind of relationship with God the Father through Christ the Son? Do you have that kind of relationship, the one that little Samuel had, wee boy, where you believe and that you expect God to answer, that you expect God to speak? You see, sometimes when we don't have faith, when all hope is gone, we think that God has given up on us. Sometimes you feel like God has gone silent on us. Our faith gets low and we fail to see how much God really cares about us. Well, let me encourage you today. He cares about you. He cares about what you care about. He cares about what you're struggling with. He cares about what you're praying about. But sometimes when hopelessness sets in, the first thing that goes is actually our prayer life. So how do you develop a hope that expects God to answer our prayers? Well, this kind of bold faith and hope can be developed. As the Women to Women ladies will tell you, you can grow your faith. You can fan into flames your hope. And it is developed, church, through an up-close and personal relationship with Jesus Christ, through coming to Him, spending time with Him in personal devotion with Him. The more you spend time with Him, the more you will develop a listening ear. The more you develop a listening ear, the more you will understand that it's His voice that is speaking to you. The more you know that He's speaking directly to you, that increases your faith. And in turn, that helps you to place your hope and trust in Him. Hope expects God's to answer. So what's God speaking to us in this short series about hope? Well, I believe it is a word in season for now. A seasonal word, the Bible says, is a word that brings joy. And if you came here last week or you've come here this morning and you felt hopeless, the Lord wants to deposit not just hope back into your heart, but joy. We're about to enter Pastor Hugh's season, the season of joy. It's the season of hope for all men, women, and children. So what's God speaking to us? Well, hope has a name, and His name is Jesus. The hope that we have is unlike any earthly hope. We have this hope because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our living Savior, which is why it is a living, eternal hope. And no matter what tomorrow brings, we have this hope as an inheritance. The Lord Jesus has secured it for us. We heard that last week. It's more than just wishful thinking. This morning we've looked at 5 points as what hope is. And as we come to the end of this teaching this morning, what might God be presenting to you about hope? What does He want you to personally consider in your own lives? Well, let me just summarize. Number one, hope believes. Can I encourage you? Never give up. Never give up. Keep believing. Believe, and number two, never give up. Perhaps like the individuals that we've heard about today, you've been struggling, you've been battling, it's been a long time waiting for your breakthrough. Never give up. Come to Jesus. And don't listen to the noise as you come. Don't listen to the noise of the crowd, because hope is louder than the voice of the crowd. It's louder than the lies of the enemy, the lies that he spews out at you. Hope is louder than that. It's more powerful than that. Don't allow other people either to put you off believing and trusting in God. God is hope. Jesus is hope. The Holy Spirit is living in us. His voice is louder than that. Hope resists those negative raw emotions like bitterness and resentment. So don't entertain that. Don't be led by your raw emotions. When you feel them stirring up inside of you, jealous and anger and bitterness, in that moment, be led by the Holy Spirit, not by your raw emotions. And finally, hope expects God to answer. The band can make their way back now. The Lord wants to speak to you. He wants you to spend time with him. He invites you to come. So as we come to the end today, the Lord wants to offer you a space, just as we're led in this worship song. Bring your heart to Jesus. Do that in whatever way you feel comfortable. Speak to him. Worship him. And if you need prayer today, then there will be a team at the cross at the end. And if you want to come and be prayed for, then just come and we will pray for you. So let's stand together as we pray. So Father, we come before you now and we thank you, Father God, for what you've been revealing to us. We thank you, Father God, for your truth. We thank you, Father God, that your word never fails or returns void. So we thank you, Father God, that we've been hearing about hope. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are our hope. We thank you, Lord God, for that moment where we say, Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart. I believe that you love me. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, at that moment, hope was released within us. Lord God, if that flame has gone out, we ask today by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would release that fire, that you would release that fire of hope back into the hearts of your children. For those that have come that feel hopeless and helpless, I pray today that they would lay their burdens down. They would come to the altar, that they would receive prayer, Lord God, for their hearts and minds, Lord God. That you would touch them just like you touched those that we've heard of in the Bible today. And with their faith mixed with that hope, I pray that you would release that healing that they need, Lord God. And for anyone who is here today, that has never responded to your invitation, I pray today that this would be the day that they would invite hope, Jesus, into their hearts. And that they themselves would pray that prayer or receive help to do that at the cross. So Lord God, as we're about to enter into Advent, a time of hope for the nations, we pray, Father God, that each and every one of us would be hope carriers, that we would be known as a people of hope, that we would speak words of hope, that we would pray words of hope. We thank you, Lord God, for our church here. And we thank you for that tree in the garden that signifies hope to all who see it. And we pray, Father God, that this Christmas, this year, that everyone around us, everyone in our community, our school, Lord God, all around us, may they know that Jesus, you are the hope for the nations. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.